Hi, I'm WTOP film critic Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Luke Zamperini, son of Louis Zamperini, the subject matter for the new Angelina Jolie movie, Unbroken. And Luke, thanks for coming on WTOP.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Jason. Thank you.
Where are we talking to you at? Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, is that where you reside?
It is.
Okay, cool. So before we get in, I know the reason for the interview, your father completed another book shortly before he passed away called Don't Give Up, Don't Give In. Before we get to that, let's talk about Unbroken just a little bit, since, you know, the movie's still out and everything. Uh-huh. How closely did your father work with Angelina Jolie? How much of it did he get to see before he passed away?
Well, he worked very closely with her. They, believe it or not, they were neighbors, so she had access to him whenever she needed to. He also was a technical advisor on the film, and and she brought all the key actors and crew members over to meet him, and so he was able to tell the actors about the characters that they were portraying and some of the idiosyncrasies about those characters, and it just turned the film into a labor of love. Everyone was trying to do the very best they could for Louis, and you know, when he passed away, I'd expressed to Angelina my sorrow that he didn't get a chance to live long enough to see his film. And she said, "Well, yeah, he did." I go, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, you know, before he went into intensive care, I went over to the hospital with my laptop and climbed on his bed and showed it to him."
Oh, that's fantastic.
Just fantastic. This is the kind of girl she is. She just was she couldn't do enough to express her admiration and love for my father.
Now, you mentioned they were neighbors. How did that initial run-in happen?
Well, you know, my dad, and when he got married, my mom wanted to put some distance between her and her in-laws, so they moved from Torrance to Hollywood, California. And so they lived in Hollywood Hills, and a number of years ago, the house down the hill was bought and moved into by Brad Pitt. And so, you know, we always knew he was there, and eventually the two of them got together. And when they came over to meet him, they were pretty amazed at that wow, he was just right there. And so Angie gave him some field glasses and a flashlight, and they can communicate back and forth by, you know, flashing light at each other's houses. And whenever she was home, she'd stick a flag outside of her bedroom window, and he'd see that, and he'd know that she was there.
And that's like all the President's Men stuff right there.
Yeah, they were just, you know, they really got along really well, and they were both crazy about each other.
Oh, that's fantastic. Before she even became aware of your father, and before the movie, and even before the book, talk about how special it was for you to just be his son and for that to be your family history. I mean, we've all, you know, my father, everyone, our listeners all have parents that they've heard all these old stories about. But how cool was it to be Luke Zamperini, the son of someone with such an amazing life story, and to hear that firsthand before anyone else in the world even knew about it?
Well, first of all, he was a wonderful father. So he was my hero because he was my dad, just like other boys' heroes are their fathers, especially if they have good fathers. And he was a great father. But I also was aware of his story, and because I, you know, he had a 16-page color comic book that told his story for kids. Everywhere we went when I was very young, people would come up and talk to him and say, "Hey, I heard you speak here. I read your autobiography that had come out in 1956. So I was always aware of the story, but even today, I'm still amazed at what he went through and how he turned out as a person, regardless of all the torment he had to go through. So it's really exciting and thrilling to be his son, and it's even more exciting and thrilling now to be able to talk about that and talk about him. This is actually helping me to deal with my loss. You know, he just passed on in July, and so being able to talk about him, it gives me a sense that he's here with me while I'm talking, because I'm just reliving all of his you know, character traits and his laughter and his wit and wisdom.
It certainly is a special form of therapy and grief that you were getting to do that most people don't get to. I mean, you literally have your father's life story etched in time now on screen and on the pages of books. It's pretty. It's a nice. It's got to be a great gift.
Yeah, and there have been documentaries made on him in the past. So mm-hmm. I have copies of those, so I could. You know, if I want to hear my father's voice, I can pop the DVD in there, and there he is. It's really wonderful. And so my advice to people whose parents are still around, get out the video camera and have them start telling stories, because you're going to love this later on when they're gone.
And you'll regret it if you don't.
Right.
How well do you think it translated to the screen? I mean, describe what it was like when you were sitting there the first time and you saw it up on the screen.
Well, the very first time I saw it was just 2 weeks after he passed on, and Angelina was, she wanted us to see how it was so far, because she was going off to start another project, and she wanted our input. So it was a little close to his death, and then of course, knowing his story so well, my first take was, oh, left this out, left that out. That's not exactly how that went. But then I just fell in love with the movie. So now I just have to watch it like a movie fan.
Right.
And I've seen it 9 times already, and I love it. It's she did a fantastic job. Of course, you know, the real challenge is, you know, a motion picture is an act in 3 plays, over 2 hours and so many minutes. So how do you take a life that is a 5-act or 6-act play,
sure,
and stick it into a 2-hour movie? They couldn't figure out how to do it for 60 years until she came along.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the challenge was, where do you start, where do you end, how much do you put in? So I really like the movie.
Do you have a favorite stretch of the movie? Favorite scene?
Yeah, I have a few favorite scenes. Of course, the opening of the film to me is just spectacular with the B-24 in flight, and it goes, and you start to learn about the different characters in the plane, and just the way it was shot. The cinematography is just superb. The music is wonderful. I love the scene of him beginning to run and turning into a world-class athlete. I love the scene on the life raft where he captures the Goonie bird to feed himself and his raft mates. I love the scene where the prisoners are being transported by train from one prison camp to another, and just the looks on their faces as they're looking out the window at all the snowbound landscape about them. And it's just, it's hard to say I have a favorite scene, because I just love so much of the film.
Sure. And let's talk about, moving on from Unbroken, let's talk about the final book that he wrote, Don't Give Up, Don't Give In. It kind of echoes the line from the movie, if you can take it, you can make it. Explain what this book is about.
Okay, so this book is something that my dad has been wanting to do for years. You know, his original autobiography, Devil at My Heels, and Unbroken by Laura Hildebrand, these chronicled his adventure. As does the film. So Don't Give Up, Don't Give In has the lessons learned from his adventures, as well as additional adventures that were not covered in those other resources that occurred after the war. For instance, did you know that he was lost at sea again in 1949?
No, wow, no. The sequel.
Yeah, you'd think that 47 days in a life raft would be enough for the guy, but...
Right.
He loved to sail, and he and his couple of buddies set sail from Los Angeles to Acapulco, and they ran into a white squall. The squall ripped their sails to shreds, broke their rudder pin, sent them hundreds of miles out into the Pacific with no way of controlling the boat. And they were lost out there for a couple of weeks as they tried to make repairs in the doldrums they found themselves in. So it's one of many adventures that's covered in the book, but mainly it is the wisdom of an old man who's had an extraordinary life, and being able to share what he learned from each one of his experiences to those that survived him for generations to come.
And this is written by your father with a collaborator?
Yes, it's my father and David Renson, who collaborated with him on his autobiography, Devil at My Heels, that was released in the early 2000s. Yes, it was my dad's desire, as he realized he was starting to get on. You know, he turned 97 and thought, well, I better get to this last book. Mm-hmm. And so we contacted Dave, who was more than happy to you know, reunite with Louis and get the work done. And I'll tell you, the timing was perfect. The book is an incredibly fun read. It's going to be good for kids to read as well as adults. Everyone I've talked to who's read it has really loved it. And I'll tell you what, what a joy to have the wise words of a wise man imparted to us just before he passes on. Just incredible.
Absolutely. And now now you get to be the one to carry the torch and promote the book. So, hey, thanks for taking the time to join us. Your father's life story is absolutely incredible, whether it's in book or movie form. Thanks so much for taking time.
It's a pleasure, Jason. Thank you.